ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
यस्यां दिस् वैदिक लिटरेचर् वै सर्टन्लि श्रूयमानायम् सिम्प्लि बै गिविङ्ग् ओरल् रिसेप्शन् कृष्णे अण्टु लोर्ड् कृष्ण Parama, Supreme, Purushe, under the personality of Godhead, Bhakti, feelings of devotional service, Utpadyate, sprout up, Pungsa, of the living being, Shoka, lamentation, Moha, illusion, Bhaya, fearfulness, Apaha, that which extinguishes. Translation, simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, the feeling for loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness. Please repeat. Simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, the feeling for loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness. Srila Prabhupada's purport. There are various senses of which the ear is the most effective. This sense works even when a man is deep asleep. One can protect himself from the hands of an enemy while awake, but while asleep, one is protected by the ear only. The importance of hearing is mentioned here in connection with attaining the highest perfection of life, namely getting free from three material pangs. Everyone is full of lamentation at every moment. He is after the mirage of illusory things, and he is always afraid of his supposed enemy. These are the primary symptoms of material disease, and it is definitely suggested herein that simply by hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, one gets attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And as soon as this is affected, the symptoms of the material diseases disappear. Srila Vyasadeva saw that the all-perfect Personality of Godhead, and in this statement, the all-perfect Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is clearly confirmed. The ultimate result of devotional service is to develop genuine love for the Supreme Personality. Love is a word which is often used in relation with man and woman, and love is the only word that can be properly used to indicate the relation between Lord Krishna and the living entities. The living entities are mentioned as Prakriti in the Bhagavad Gita, and in Sanskrit, Prakriti is a feminine object. The Lord is always described as the Paramapurusha, or the Supreme Male Personality. Thus, the affection between the Lord and the living entities is something like that between the male and the female. Therefore, the term love of Godhead is quite appropriate. Loving devotional service to the Lord begins with hearing about the Lord. There is no difference between the Lord and the subject matter heard about Him. The Lord is absolute in all respects, and thus there is no difference between Him and the subject matter heard about Him. Therefore, hearing about Him means immediate contact with Him by the process of vibration of the transcendental sound. And the transcendental sound is so effective that it acts at once by removing all material affections mentioned above. As mentioned before, a living entity develops a sort of complexity by material association, and the illusory encagement of the material body is accepted as an actual fact. Under such false complexity, the living beings under different categories of life become illusioned in different ways. Even in the most developed stage of human life, the same illusion prevails in the form of many isms, and divides the loving relation with the Lord, and thereby divides the loving relation between man and man. By hearing the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, this false complexity of materialism is removed, and real peace in society begins, which politicians aspire for so eagerly in so many political situations. The politicians want a peaceful situation between man and man and nation and nation, but at the same time, because of too much attachment for material domination, there is illusion and fearfulness. Therefore, the politicians' peace conferences cannot bring about peace in society. It can only be done by hearing the subject matter described in the Srimad Bhagavatam about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The foolish politicians may go on holding peace and summit conferences for hundreds of years, but they will fail to achieve success. Until we reach the stage of reestablishing our lost relation with Krishna, the illusion of accepting the body as the self will prevail, and thus fearfulness will also prevail. As for the validity of Sri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are hundreds and thousands of evidences from revealed scriptures, and there are hundreds and thousands of evidences from personal experiences of devotees in various places like Vrindavan, Navadvip, and Puri. Even in the Kaumudi dictionary, the symptoms of Krishna are given as, quote, the son of Yashoda, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parabrahman. The conclusion is that simply by hearing the Vedic literature of Srimad Bhagavatam, one can have direct connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and thereby one can attain the highest perfection of life by transcending worldly miseries, illusion, and fearfulness. These are practical tests for one who has actually given a submissive hearing to the readings of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the first word in the verse, yasyam, is pointing to the Bhagavatam, saying this Vedic literature. So in what way is it a Vedic literature? The Vedas are originally were one as the Atharva Veda, but Vyasadev, can any of you move a little closer? Everything's on this side. The book, all of you, everything, like, don't mind being in the middle a little bit. Originally there was one Veda, the Atharva, and the culture, when we say Vedic culture, is based around imbibing the Vedas, but even at the time of this Vedic culture, only a small percentage of the population would imbibe the Vedas, the Brahmanas, and that included just men and also those who were designated as Brahmanas. And they would start at a very early age as children, living in a pristine environment where they were unaffected by distractions from the material world, and they would memorize the Vedas. In fact, originally, the Vedas are called, they're called Shruti. But this is because they're passed down through oral reception. And this, interestingly, is a more accurate way of passing on the information than by writing. Through the ages, the written word has been interpolated, and much of that is by making mistakes. For instance, when people started writing the Vedas down, instead of speaking them and memorizing them in total by hearing them, there were a lot of mistakes because the scribes at the time, many of the scribes at the time were illiterate. They just for a job would copy things by hand. That was your kinkos back then. And not only that, many of them were paid by the hour, so they hurried things up a little bit. So they could miss things here and there. Whereas when children would learn the Vedas, they had several ways that they were able to memorize them. There are hand movements that go along with the various sounds of, that they were reciting. There are inflections in the recitation. And there were various devices through which the memorization became complete, and it would be passed down from one generation to the next. And in this age, that's not possible. By the time kids are 5 years old, they're already on crack cocaine somewhere in an alley. They're not sitting in a pristine forest and memorizing the Vedas. Sanskrit is obviously still extant, but it's not a widely spoken language or understood or studied. Very, you know, there are small pockets of people who learn it and so forth. In any case, Srila Vyasadeva knew this. It's mentioned in the Bhagavatam itself and in other Puranas that he divided the Atharva Veda. And he did so through his disciples, or he distributed it through his disciples, so each would learn the various parts of the Vedas and then pass them on to others. And in the present age, as even Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, Nistrigunya Bhavarjana, Nirdvandos Nitya Sattvasto, Nir Yoga Shema Atmavan. He's telling Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita that don't worry about the Vedas so much. They deal with the three modes of material nature. And they do. They're rituals which are meant to help one elevate oneself, one's position in the material world. However, the Upanishads are also part of the Vedas, and they're the first transcendental part of the Vedas. And the Upanishads point to the difference between matter and spirit. Mostly they give the example of look at yourself and see what the nature of God is. So many people misinterpret the Upanishads and thinking, aha, I'm God. But actually it's giving, in a very concise way, in an understandable way, to see the difference between matter and spirit. And the Upanishads are meant for those who are done with the material worlds. That's why they're called Upanishad. It means to sit up close. And it means, by implication, that one is interested in hearing about spiritual subject matters. So from the Upanishads, then there's Vyasadeva, summarized them in the Vedanta Sutra, or the Brahma Sutra. And from there, he gave the commentary on the Vedanta Sutra called the Srimad Bhagavatam, which gives the whole picture of what is in the Brahma Sutra. And so Jiva Goswami, in his Tattva Sandarbha, explains why this Vedic literature, as is the first word here, this Vedic literature is so important, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because in this age, the Vedas are not comprehensible to people in general. And not only that, even if one studies the Upanishads, it's very terse and abstract, and it is also that kind of language is also not understandable, and that's why Vyasadeva made the Puranas. Then, of course, you know, one might ask, how are the Puranas related to the Vedas? And Srila Jiva Goswami shows how they are by quoting the Vedas themselves and also various Puranas to show that they're the same quality as the Vedas, because they're directly explaining what the Vedas mean and what their ultimate purpose is. And he gives the example, or he quotes a verse from the Puranas that gives the example that just as if you had a golden bracelet, and if it had a gap in it, then you could only fill that in and have integrity in the piece by adding another piece of gold of the same quality. So he said, in the same way, the Vedas are completed by the Puranas. And then he goes on to show, does Jiva Goswami, that of all the Puranas, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the best. And of course, we hear about this in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself. Srila Vyasadeva had compiled all of the Puranas, and he was still not satisfied. At the time he met Narada Muni, he had brought forth many Puranas, but still he wasn't satisfied. That's why he had a crisis. And in that crisis, he met his spiritual master, who told him that you have to be more direct and tell about the pastimes of Krishna and our relationship with him. And that's when Vyasadeva went back, and these verses are describing what happened after he had his revelation, his samadhi, in which he saw Krishna, his activities in the spiritual world, and his relationship with living entities. That's what's being summarized in these few verses. That's why these verses are very important to our entire philosophy. And we'll find that he first, of course, put out the Bhagavat Purana, but then later on it was embellished after his samadhi, and he came with the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the complete manifestation, as mentioned here, of Krishna himself in this world. And in earlier verses, Krishna swadamo bhagate dhamaganadi bisaha kalo nashta drishamesha pora narko dhanodita. After Krishna leaves the planet 5,000 years ago, the Bhagavatam reappears as the incarnation in the age of Kali Yuga to give people light and dharma. And anyone can derive that benefit from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So now he's referring here in the first word to the Bhagavatam, Yasyam, this Vedic literature. And for us, this is vital also, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is the philosophy of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, Jiva Goswami in the Tattva Sandarbha goes out of his way to explain why the Srimad Bhagavatam among all the Puranas is the topmost. Because if you do a mathematical calculation, you'll say, okay, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy follows the Bhagavatam, therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is the topmost. And we find in the Chaitanya Manjusha, as mentioned in the various tenets of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, summarized that Arajya Bhagavan Vrajeshutanyas Taddhama Vrindavana Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavidu Vargina Vokalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumartam Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam Tatradara Napara. This is the opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, says the Chaitanya Manjusha, that Lord Krishna and his abode Vrindavan are non-different. That the highest method of worshipping Krishna was that which was conceived by the gopis of Vrindavan and their feelings of separation. And that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate authority on everything. It's the spotless Purana. It's completely perfect. And finally, that the ultimate goal of life is to develop love for Krishna. This is the mission statement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the Bhagavatam is vitally important for anyone who is a follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all study Srimad Bhagavatam. And in any case of dispute about a point made, for instance, in the Mahabharata, there are many versions of the Mahabharata. There's a South Indian version, North Indian version, and many in between. It's been interpolated in various ways, but then if you want to know what's a sound philosophical point, you have to go back to the Bhagavatam. If it's in the Bhagavatam and confirmed by the Bhagavatam, we accept it. Therefore, it's a good idea just to study Bhagavatam. I was actually asking Hridaya Nandamaraj recently, I said, which version of the Mahabharata should I study? He said, just read the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's all in there. And so the Bhagavatam is the main focus of our lives. We surround ourselves with Bhagavatam. Prabhupada established hearing Bhagavatam every day, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, as the primary principle of our advancement in Krishna consciousness. So without hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, you're not really following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process. It's out of the 64 items of devotional service, he named five which are the most vital, and he said, of those five, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in the company of like-minded devotees who are more advanced than oneself is one of those five. So the verse says, Yasyam, and then Vai is an emphasis, gives emphasis, certainly. Shuryamanayam, simply by giving oral reception. So this is one of the symptoms of, or the main symptom that one is advancing in spiritual life. And that's confirmed by Lord Kapiladev, please look it up. After he describes the devotional service in three modes of nature, he says that there's devotional service in the mode of ignorance, there's a mode, devotional service performed in the mode of passion, there's devotional service performed in the mode of goodness, and then there's transcendental devotional service. And transcendental devotional service he gives in this verse, which starts with Madguna Shuti Matrena. Here, just give me the book. Thank you. Madguna Shuti Matrena. Let's see. Oh, that's not it, is it? Where is it? 29? Yeah. Madbhak, no, could you please find the verse? Madguna Shruti Matraina Sarva Mai Guhashaye. And the verse says that a transcendental devotional service means that upon hearing the vibration, the transcendental vibration, your mind chases after it. Just as much as the Ganges has its inexorable flow to the sea, so similarly you can tell if you're making advancement in, thank you, in devotional service, if your mind is attracted to hearing the transcendental topics. One devotee told me when he was in Vrindavan and trying to concentrate on writing, people used to come visit him all the time because he lived in the Gurukul building. And he said he figured out a way to get rid of them really fast. He just, as soon as they come in and they want to gossip, he'd pull out a Bhagavatam and say, yeah, let's read Bhagavatam. They say, I got to go. That means that your mind is disturbed by the modes of nature. But when it's not disturbed by the modes of nature, then it's interested in hearing about Krishna. So, madguna shruti matrena mai sarva guhashaya manogatir avichchina yata gangam basam gudav lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunasya hutaritam haituki avyavahita yad bhakti purushottame. The translation is by Kapila Dev. Not the translations by Kapila Dev. He spoke the verse, Prabhupada translated it. The manifestation of unadulterated devotional service is exhibited when one's mind is at once attracted to hearing the transcendental name and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is residing in everyone's heart. Just as the water of the Ganges flows naturally down towards the ocean, such devotional ecstasy, uninterrupted by any material condition, flows towards the Supreme Lord. So that's the symptom of advanced transcendental devotional service beyond the modes of nature. It's based on Shriyamanayam, which means that the keen interest in hearing about Krishna. So you can judge for yourself how interested, of course I'm preaching in the choir, you're all sitting in Bhagavatam class. But you'll find in yourself, the more interested you are in hearing, then the more advanced you'll become naturally. And there's a systemic way in which as the Bhagavatam enters the ear, It then purifies the heart, and it rearranges the way we interact with the world. And it also changes our direction. Everything happens by the process of hearing. This is confirmed by Satam prasangam mavirya vido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kata taj joshanad ashua pavarga vartmani shadaratir bhaktir anukramishruti. Again from the third canto. And here Kapila Dev said, by hearing in the association of pure devotees, the sound vibration, which will be about Krishna, enters within the ear and then it goes to the heart. And the heart is the driver of the body. How the condition of our heart is the way in which we go in life. That's why a faith is called Shraddha, because Shrad means the heart and Da means where you place something. It's an active verb. So it means when you have a faith in a certain thing, and we all have a faith in something, as Krishna points out in the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, everybody has faith. Faith is what we're made of. But if it becomes affected by the three modes of material nature, we'll do things that are substandard. For instance, there's a whole organization that's dedicated to promoting pit bulls, to convincing people that they're actually the nicest animals who ever lived. And they put a lot of money into advertisements and showing how pit bulls like to kiss babies and all kinds of stuff. I mean, I have nothing against pit bulls. I know they're perfectly nice for the most part, 98% of the time. The 2% that probably you have to worry about. But in any case, it's a lost cause, and it's certainly not a it's certainly not an extremely noble cause in the scope of the entire purpose of the universe and so forth. And I sincerely hope I didn't offend any pit bull owners anywhere, and apologize to all the pit bulls in the world. But you're not on the top of the list when it comes to the purpose of human life. Nonetheless, if somebody is affected by lower modes of nature, they become enamored of certain causes. But when one becomes purified, as the verse I'm quoting says, Satam prasangamam avirya sambhido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kata, the vibration itself enters the heart and it purifies the faith. And when faith is pure, it goes directly for Krishna. And then one is on the path of apavarga, which means one's no longer subjected to the influence of repeated birth and death, which we subject ourselves to by mixing up our consciousness with the modes of material nature. Now, the verse says, step by step, by hearing Bhagavatam regularly, you'll develop Shraddha, then Rati, then Bhakti. Which, describing Anukramishruti, there's various stages that one will reach step by step by the systematic hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatams. So it's really a good idea to hear Srimad Bhagavatam as much as possible in the association of like-minded devotees. Then, Krishne Parama Purushe. So this is saying, repeating what is the theme of our sampradaya, or the very mission statement, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishne Parama Purushe. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So as Chaitanya Charitamrita likes to say, that human beings suffer for want of a worthy object of meditation. Everybody's looking around the world trying to find something to look at that will please them. And there's a lot of stuff to look at around here, but it's all substandard. The main object of worship, our sampradaya is saying, is Krishna. And if you focus your mind on Krishna, as we do, Radha Govinda, here are the center of focus for the entire community. This community is based around looking at Radha Govinda, dressing Radha Govinda, doing things for Radha Govinda, and bringing in flowers. The flowers that we're growing, we're thinking of Radha Govinda as we're doing them. When you go in book distribution, you're doing it for Radha Govinda, and then you come early in the morning to see them when they wake up. You come here late at night when they're going to bed, and you cook all day long to feed them, and so forth. And so we think all day long of Radha Govinda. And this is, by this kind of meditation, keeping one's mind focused on Krishna, then everything good comes. In fact, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, don't worry about a thing, just think about me. He gives us this permission. Because someone might think, well, what will happen to me if I just think about Krishna all day? Well, Krishna tells us. He says, ananyash chintayantamam yejana paripasate tesham nityabdyuktanam yogakshemam mahamyaham. If you just think of me, of course it doesn't mean just sit there, but as I mentioned, there are various activities in the emotional service where we're thinking about how to serve Radha Govinda. He says, if you just, with no other concern in your life, dedicate your mind, your consciousness to me, and worship me, then I'll just take care of you. I'll carry what you lack and preserve what you have. Prabhupada mentions in one of the purports we read recently within the last few years that the devotee becomes so busy that he doesn't have time to think about himself. He's only thinking about Krishna. So therefore, Krishna is obligated to take care of his devotee. So if you move your attention more and more towards full meditation on Krishna, you'll never be the loser. In fact, if you take your attention off of Krishna for 1 second, as is the norm in the spiritual world, the norm is if they take their attention off of Krishna for 1 second, or he walks behind a tree as he's here herding cows, the devotees feel separation. Yugayatam nimishena chakshushat pravrushayatam. They find one moment feels like 12 years or more because they're so fixed on thinking of Krishna, remembering his pastimes, watching him wherever he goes, waiting for him to come back from the pasturing grounds at night. That's a big festival when he comes back, and they can actually see him in the village again. So this kind of meditation on Krishna is the goal of life. And as a matter of fact, for anyone who wants to tinker around with mystic powers, you can read the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in your spare time and figure out how to be a mystic yogi, because Krishna tells how to do it. He says the yogis concentrate their full attention on various elements in the material world, and they begin to assume the quality of those elements. For instance, when one is able to fix one's mind exclusively on the quality of air, then one can become very light and move about like the siddhas from Siddhaloka do. But he also mentions that if you want to have success in everything that you do, just meditate on Krishna, fix your mind on Krishna. That's a good idea. So we have this. We have a clear and worthy goal, and that is Krishna Param Purushe. Just think of the person of Krishna. And there's enough material there to keep you busy eternally, because Krishna is an eternal personality. So then Bhakti Utpadyate Pumsa. Bhakti is translated as feelings of devotional service. Utpadyate, sprout up. They sprout up. Pumsa, in the person. So if a living being dedicates his or her attention to hearing this literature, this Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, then bhakti will sprout up within the heart. You like it? How much? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you like it? 20? Okay, 20. You like it a lot. Okay, then here's another side benefit. Shoka moha bayapaha. So shoka means lamentation. And moha means illusion. And paya means fearfulness. These are the effects of forgetting Krishna. As soon as I forget Krishna, here's what I get. I get shoka, lamentation, moha, illusion, and paya, which means fear. But he says at the end of the statement, apaha. Apaha means that these are all extinguished by the process of hearing Bhagavatam. So if you ever start to feel lamentation, illusion, or fearfulness, you'll know that the remedy is not far away. It's hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you do that, these anomalies will be extinguished by the power of the sound vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And now we'll take a few reflections. Anything that you heard that stuck in your mind, or a question that you want to, that will help to elevate the conversation? Okay. Naga was first on the draw.
I wanted to say, I really like that point that you made, that if you're not reading Srimad Bhagavatam, then you can't really say you're following Mahaprabhu. And you also made the point that if you can tell how much advancement you're making by how much interest you're developing in hearing Bhagavatam.
Yes, and we can even look at the history of the life of Mahaprabhu. He spent time with his devotees hearing Bhagavatam. Raghunath Bhatta, for instance, was famous for reciting Bhagavatam in melodious, various melodies that would invoke the devotional emotions of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu would have read his own copy of Bhagavatam, but he cried so much while he was reading it was destroyed. So they had to get, he had to have Gadadhar Pandit read it to him all the time. And this is the preoccupation of Mahaprabhu and his devotees, is hearing Bhagavatam. And the beauty of it is that the more you hear Bhagavatam, even if in the beginning it's not all that interesting to you, if you just lock yourself in a room for a month and hear Bhagavatam for 5 hours a day, you'll walk out a changed person. You'll look at the world differently. You'll feel differently. People will look at you differently. They'll look and say, "What happened to you? You used to be such a schlep, but now..." Now you look effulgent. And it's like, I locked myself in a room and I heard Bhagavatam for 5 hours a day for a month. So what would happen if you do that a lot? If you hear Bhagavatam a lot and you dedicate your life? Well, it's right here in the Bhagavatam. You can try it for yourself. Your problems basically will go away. And that's not a bad thing, is it? Okay, who else?
I appreciated this part of the purport where Srila Prabhupada said that by hearing, then the false complexities of life become removed.
Yes, it's such a poetical turn of phrase, the false complexities of life. Prabhupada uses these terms that are mantra-esque. You can take them with you. Like he says, unnecessary necessities, or the false complexities of life. In and of itself, that practically is like a meditation you can bring with you. I have false complexities in my life. What does that mean? It means you have to think about yourself as a being who isn't really meant to be part of this world, false complexities, or unnecessary necessities. You have any necessities? How about some unnecessary necessities? Thank you for bringing that up. What else? Yes.
I was reminded of a verse from the second canto that I just really like, and I think it's very much on the topic of what you were saying. Shunvatashutriya nityam grunatascha svacheshtitam kalena nati dirkena bhagavan vishate hridi. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna manifested in their hearts within a short time.
Speaks for itself.
The next one, I think you also know, Pravishta Karna Randrena, about how
when Pravishta Karna Randrena Svanam Bhavam Saroruham
Tunoti
Tunoti Shamaram Krishna Salilasya Yata Sharat. There's a poetical verse which says that just as during the season of Sharat, when the rain comes, it's a special kind of rain. Normally rain muddies the waters. But in Sharat, when the rain comes, it makes the water clear. And similarly, and you imagine when it rains, it makes all the waterways clear, all over the land. So in a similar way, when the pure devotees speak the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is for the benefit of all the people in the world. It's the only way to solve all the problems of the world. That's why we emphasize book distribution, by the way, especially Bhagavatams. And because of that, people everywhere, by the sound vibration of the pure devotees speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, their hearts become clear. And the verse also says that by hearing that Bhagavatam vibration, the relationship that we have with Krishna becomes manifest on the altar of our heart. Krishna manifests himself there and begins to interact with us in loving ways because of the power of the Bhagavatam. Thank you for bringing those verses up. What else?
Like in the beginning of the purport, how Srila Prabhupada was mentioning the power of hearing, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, but how we're fast asleep at night, our ears, they actually can protect us if someone comes to try to, you know, rob us or invade our house. So in a similar way, the ears protect us in giving us and helping us become liberated by hearing the Vedic literature and Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah, and one can take advantage of this. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur agreed to give initiation to Abhay Charanaravinda, to Abhay, he was Abhay Babu, and then he became Abhay Charanaravinda. Later on, he became the great world acharya, universal acharya, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was doing a parikram, and there was an opportunity, as there are on all the parikrams, you can either go this way or that way. So he was giving lectures, was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, at night. And there was a chance to go see a famous temple also. And so the pilgrims were all given a choice. And most of them went to see the temple, to see the deity, because it was the last chance they had. And then a select few stayed and listened to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's lecture. And he noted this, did Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, that he said, what will they see when they go to the temple? So without hearing properly, they won't see anything. So it's more important to hear. And then at the Srila Prabhupada's initiation, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, I marked him. He likes to hear. He does not go away. He does not go away. I like that mantra because there's a way in which if you just don't go away, just stay in here. Stay in the environment where the vibration is thick with Krishna Katha. And just don't go away. Even if you feel like going away, don't go away. Tie yourself to the chair or something like that. Get somebody to put super glue on your seat before you sit down. And you just don't go away. And stay there. Then naturally the transformation will take place. This is one of the principles of devotional service. Be there. Show up for where the katha is. Prabhupada once said, God helps those who help themselves. Then he said, helping oneself means putting oneself in front of transcendental sound vibration. So at least do that, even if you don't have a complete understanding of what it is. And even Prabhupada said when he used to hear from his spiritual master, he said, I didn't really understand it all. But I stayed and I kept listening. And then everything becomes clear. It's a miracle because you get these little ears. They're like little satellite dishes. If you look at them in the mirror, you'll think they're really weird. You just stare at them for a while. Everyone thinks, oh yeah, what a beautiful person. It's like, man, they got ears sticking out the side of their head. If you look at them, they're kind of weird. But they're functional. They catch the sound. They put it through a little cylinder, and it goes through into the ear. There's a whole apparatus in there that filters it through, and the sound comes into the heart. And it's not insignificant. Narada Muni, in fact, in the fifth chapter of the first canon of the Bhagavatam, mentions what a verse I'm thinking of. Amurti, mantra murtam amurtikam, first line. Iti murti abhidhanena mantra murtam amurtikam yajite yajyapurusham sa samyag darshana puman. Narada Muni says that this the sound vibration that comes from the Bhagavatam and from the Hare Krishna mantra and the other authorized mantra, he said, this is the real way to see God. If you want to see God in his complete form, then this is the easy and complete way to do it, is by hearing the mantra sound. Iti murtyabhidhanena mantra murtim amurtikam. So the word murti, everybody knows what it means, right? What does it mean? From this side of the room, we haven't heard anything from you yet. Murti means? Form, exactly. But it also means, according to the Amarakosh Dictionary, it means difficulty. Form and difficulty, right? You knew this. She knows Sanskrit. So when you say, so the verse says, mantra murtim amurtikam. Very interesting. The mantra is murti amurtikam. It not only, reveals the form of the Lord, the murti, but it was also amurtikam, which means, murti is difficult, but amurtikam means not difficult. The non-difficult way, if that's even a phrase, to see the Lord is through the mantra. Iti murtyabhidhanena mantra murtim amurtikam yajite yajya purusham. This is the way to worship the Supreme Purusha, through sound. Sasam yag darshanapuman. The complete darshan will be had by the mantra, by the sound vibration itself. It's so potent. So highly recommended, especially in this age of Kali Yuga, that one dedicate oneself to the mantra. Marry yourself to the mantra. Have a little marriage ceremony for yourself and marry the mantra. That's what initiation is, basically. It's like, I'm marrying this mantra. We're together now forever. This is what we do. We're married. We have a few more minutes. Anyone? Anyone? Okay. Go ahead, what are you thinking?
I was just reminded of something I heard that Mahavishnu Swami, the Indian Mahavishnu Swami, Indian body, he said that everybody must get married. If you're all brahmacharis even must get married. You either marry a Bhagavatam or you can marry a wife. He said this is his perspective that, you know, ultimately our siddhantas, we have to become, as you said, married to the mantra.
And even if you are, do get married, then you still marry the Bhagavatam. That's when you should marry the Bhagavatam together. Very good, yes. Okay, we're coming live over here. It's a rally in the last 5 minutes.
Well, I was appreciating that thinking about Krishna instead of thinking about the problems or thinking about feeling the fear and the anxiety, but just putting the mind on Krishna, and that the solutions will naturally come by that meditation on Krishna.
Yeah, there are a lot of problems, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if you have to take care of people or institutions which are basically made of people. Then people make problems.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do. That's their job. And so there's a lot of problems in life. And if you're a person, you'll have problems too. So there's different ways of dealing with it. But the only really effective way is to take shelter of Krishna and his mercy. Of course, we deal in systematic, practical ways. We're methodical. We're also dispassionate because we just go through and do what we have to do. But all the while, we take shelter of Krishna. Krishna says in the Gita, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mama nusmaradyuchacha Mayarpita mano buddhir mami vaishyasya samshayaha. And that is that he says, because our destination is so dependent on the nature of our consciousness, this is where the word therefore, tasmat sarveshu kalishu, he says, therefore, it's an absolute necessity that all the time you think of me. And he says, you do it even while you're working, but you should think of me all day long. So you all think of Radha Govinda all day long when you're doing anything. And the way that problems are solved, this is another thing we find in the Bhagavatam. Big managers. Who are some big managers in the Bhagavatam? Brahma. So Brahma's dealing with big problems because he's got the whole universe to deal with. That includes all the ISKCON temples. So that's like multiplied by millions of times. So now you got Brahma sitting there wondering how to save the universe. It fell into a ditch. And so he's thinking like, what am I going to do now? And then as he's meditating, praying to Krishna, where did the Lord come from? His nostril. The Lord flew out of his nostril in the form of a boar. Because Krishna's kind of funny too. He's sitting there wondering, now, how am I going to fix all these problems? And Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and Krishna just manifests somewhere. For Brahma, he came out as a boar out of his nostril and started flying around the universe, and all the sages started worshiping him, and the boar shaking his thing, and kusha grass starts sprouting out, and Krishna, don't worry, I'll save you, and he picks up the earth and he brings it back, and you know, Varaha's famous everywhere. People take shelter of Varaha to this day. And where did he come from? He just came because he wanted to help his devotee. So if you be a better devotee, think of Krishna more and take shelter of Krishna. In fact, I just sent a verse out to a couple of devotees yesterday who are experiencing a lot of problems. And it's a verse that says, don't worry about your problems so much. It's from the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4:19:34, for the close. 4:19:34 for the close. There's a little treat at the end. Dessert. This verse actually saved my life once. When I had such a big managerial problem that and I couldn't figure out how to fix it. And then Ratat Vajswami sent me this verse because he knew I was in deep anxiety. And then I was saved. And I'm here to tell about it today. I didn't die. Okay, so this is 4:19:34. This is Brahma speaking to Prithu Maharaj, who wanted to kill Indra, because Indra messed up his life so much. Prithu is about to perform 100th horse sacrifice, and that would have equaled Indra, because he's known as the one who's performed 100 horse sacrifices. Indra got envious. So Indra, during the sacrifice, he came down as a fake sannyasi. He put on sannyas dress so no one would detect him, and he stole the horse from the sacrifice, and he flew away. And Prithu Maharaj's son went after him, got the horse back, but he didn't kill him because he saw it was a sannyasi, he let him go. So then it happened two more times. Indra changed into another kind of sannyasi dress. That's where all the fake sannyasis in the world come from. Indra created them when he enacted this atrocity. And each time, the son of Prithu Maharaj held off from killing him. Then Prithu Maharaj said, I'm going to kill him. And then all the sages there at the yajna said, no, you can't kill him. We'll kill him. And so they started doing these mantras that was going to suck Indra into the sacrificial fire and kill him. And they were about to do the last ablation that would have sucked him in, and then Brahma appeared. And Brahma said, hold everything. You can't kill Indra, he's a devotee. Even though he messed up your sacrifice, he's still a devotee and he's dear to Krishna. And he started preaching to Prithu Maharaj to calm down. And this is one of the verses that he gave him that saved him. And this is the verse that saved me one day. One fine day when Ratat Vajswami sent it to me in an email and said, Vaish, I think this might help you. Check it out. My dear king, do not be agitated and anxious because your sacrifices have not been properly executed due to providential impediments. Kindly take my words with great respect. We should always remember that if something happens by providential arrangement, we should not be very sorry. The more we try to rectify such reversals, the more we enter into the darkest region of materialistic thought. Purport. Sometimes the saintly or very religious person also has to meet with reversals in life. Such incidents should be taken as providential. Although there may be sufficient cause for being unhappy, one should avoid counteracting such reversals. For the more we become implicated in rectifying such reversals, the more we enter into the darkest regions of material anxiety. Lord Krishna has also advised us in this connection, we should tolerate things instead of becoming agitated. I close my case. Om Tat Sat. Thank you very much. Gaur Premanande Haribo. Nitai Gaura Haribo. 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo. Nitai Gaura Haribo. Bo. Haribo. Nitai Gaura Haribo.
Marman. Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, hey, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.